Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our second reading from Hebrews chapter 10. Well, Don and I were out Christmas shopping the other day. We had gone out to Roosevelt Mall. Now, usually when I've been out there before, I would go in, get what I want, and get right back out of there. That's my idea of shopping. I'm usually one to look around, and this time we were looking around. Now, we went and parked up in the JCPenney garage, so we went up there to the third floor of the parking garage to go into the second floor of the mall. Think about who designed that one. Anyway, well, we started to go into the mall there and walk around again, a.k.a. shopping, and Donna wants to go to a particular store. Now, trouble is I don't know where this store is, hadn't heard of it before, and, we didn't know where it was. Because the last time that Donna went there, she was with my daughter Rachel, and, well, they went in at the opposite end of the mall, and so if she got, we parked down there, then she would have known right exactly where to go, you know, because she would have recognized where all the other stores, and she could have walked right to it. But having come in from the other end, well, she didn't know. So what did that mean? Well, we had to go up there to the kiosk there and find the map there, the layout of the mall, and that's where the sign says, "You are here." That's just a euphemism for you are lost, and you're standing in front of this map. Well, today, our Hebrews lesson is actually a good description of you are here. It's sandwiched between two lessons here, our Old Testament lesson and our gospel reading here for today, speaking about the Messiah who was to come, where he would be born, and again, Mary being pregnant at the time. So, let's take a look at this lesson today and find out why it's such a good one to look at for you are here. Now, I want you to think about Advent as a big mall. Now, that's probably the first time you've ever heard it described, Advent as a mall, and quite frankly, it's the first time I've ever said it that way. But every mall, though, has an anchor store, right? You've got Macy's on one end and JCPenney on the other, and then you've got all these stores that are in between. It's kind of like Advent. The one anchor store there, well, that's the first Advent, the coming of our Savior. And then the other anchor there, as if you will, would be the second coming of our Savior. Now, what's sandwiched in between there are all the stores and all the things that happen between that first Advent and what will happen with our second Advent. And so today, looking at Hebrews here, well, it's going to be focusing again on those things that are in between. Now, our Old Testament lesson here in Micah, well, it begins with, where is the Messiah going to be born? Going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is about 6 miles or so outside of Jerusalem. It's kind of like Hicksville is about 6 miles as the crow flies from Garden City. So that gives you an idea of the kind of distance that Bethlehem is outside of this place. Now, again, it's the place where the Messiah is going to be born, and there are all kinds of clues given and prophecies given to help bring us up to that point. And this is the one that helps us identify who the Messiah would be that one that was born in Bethlehem. Now, our gospel reading gives us some more information. Here we have, by this time, Mary is pregnant. And so, well, she, as it says there, makes haste to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now, here we have two extraordinary pregnancies. One, because Elizabeth there is so very old to be having a child. And then, of course, we have Mary with the Immaculate Conception. Now, with this being the case here, the clue given to us are some words spoken by Elizabeth. When she says, "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, the clue in there is "my Lord." Now, Lord is definitely a reference to the Lord God. And that, no doubt, is going to cause Mary to be thinking about how when the angel Gabriel came to pay her a visit, telling her that she was going to have a son. And this son who would be born would be called Son of the Most High God, meaning specifically here that he would be God. we would have this Christ child coming here, being born both God and man, coming here in human flesh. Now, why is he coming? That's where our lesson today comes in from Hebrews. Now, as we look at one thing here in our lesson today, something becomes clear right away, very clear, and it's this. The Old Testament sacrificial system of receiving the forgiveness of sins is not working out the way God intended. What is our clue? Well, that first verse says, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Well, here, God had outlined a remedy for people to have the forgiveness of sins, right? Gave that to Moses. So if you were to do a specific sin, then there would be prescribed for you a certain sacrificial offering to be made. So the people then would do that, and they'd be thinking, it's like, all right, that's how I get rid of my sins, is that I offer this sacrifice. Now that's one human perspective to this. The other perspective is God's perspective. And here it's talking about, how will I forgive the people their sins? If they offer the sacrifice, then I will provide that offering, provide that forgiveness. Now, the people at the beginning, more than likely, probably would have recognized and looked at that, you know, the sacrificial system here, from God's perspective. It's like, I messed up, and I need to get God's forgiveness. So what do I need to do? Well, I need to offer this sacrifice, then God will forgive me. And that's how it worked out. But the trouble is, with human beings there, we start to look at things from our own perspective. And so what they're thinking then at this point in time is like, all right, well, I've sinned again, and I got to offer a sacrifice. But if I offer this sacrifice, I'm going to get God off my back. Different attitude. God knows our hearts. He recognizes that that's a bad attitude, and what he really wants is not so much sacrifices, and that's what's getting at here in our second reading. God doesn't really care about the sacrifices so much as that he wants a change of heart. He wants a change in our attitude. He wants a heart that is seeking out after God and desiring to do his will as the Lord wants us. Now, God recognizes that, well, human beings, it's going to be hard for them to change. So God was, again, going to, what, provide a remedy for this. He was going to provide one final sacrifice for human beings for all time. And that's why the Messiah would come. He would be that very thing. And in order for it to work just right, the Messiah would have to come and be a human being, to live as we live, but yet without sin. He would also then have to offer up his life. Why? Because he never sinned, he didn't need to die, which would mean he would be the perfect sacrifice. Because if he never sinned, he would never have to offer a sacrifice, would he? But instead, he could become the sacrifice for you and me. And so then it would be said of him that he lived a life never needing to have made a sacrifice on his own, because he never sinned. And so God accepted that sacrifice on behalf of us all. So all of humanity then could receive, potentially, the forgiveness of sins. Now, in order for us to recognize this Messiah and when he would come, well, that's where we were given that clue that, well, the Messiah would be the one who would be born in Bethlehem. And so we already know here about Mary recognizing this and understanding this, getting a little bit more information about who it is, and hearing that from Elizabeth as well, about this pregnancy here, this one that would be born to Mary, is also Elizabeth's Lord, Mary's Lord, our Lord. You see, that's the connection from the first Advent to the second Advent. Jesus is here for a reason, to save us from our sins. You see, that's why we're here today. That's why you are here today. You, sinner that you are, you need forgiveness of sins as well, not unlike those of old. We recognize that Jesus is the one who was born in Bethlehem, who came and lived that perfect life, who offered his own life up there on the cross and died for us, but yet rose for us that we might receive that forgiveness of sins and hope of everlasting life. You see, God kept his word by sending his Son. And that's what's important for us to remember. That's what's important for us to know. Because there will be a day in which Jesus comes back and takes us to be with him. And then when we're there in heaven, no doubt we'll be standing there in front of a kiosk. And it'll say on there, "You are here." Now, where it is in heaven, I don't know. But that's not so much the point now, is it? What the real point is the fact that you are in heaven. Who cares where you are? You see, that's when you're going to recognize when you're standing there looking in front of that map. It's who got you there. That's when you're going to know that that Messiah, the one God kept his word, sent Jesus to be the one so that you might get into heaven. That's what's important. And that's why you are here today, anticipating that day to come through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.